Welcome to Revolt Lap, a podcast in black and white. Today we have Dr. Snae Bell, and you are going to be blown away. Here a couple little tidbits from this. She's going to talk about being a dilemma dancer, crisis leadership. She's going to talk about our responsibility to grow them, and for her to just make people better because of the work that she's doing. So it's all about making everyone else better.
Hello, revolutionaries. Thank you for joining us again today. Darren and I are stoked to have our good friend and a person who inspires all of us in our journey to be the difference makers for learners. And that's our good friend, Dr. Snae Bell. Snae, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Adjusting and moving. We are adjusting and moving. That's right. That's right. So if you don't know Snae, she's a powerful influencer and educator down in Texas. Snae, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your career background?
Sure. Well, I am a Texan now, but I was born and raised in Kentucky, which is where I started my career. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, taught there, moved to Texas about 18 years ago. Taught high school English. I've taught middle school. I've been a coach, basketball coach at the middle school and high school level. I was an elementary principal, and now I'm a middle school principal. So I've had that K-12 experience, which really gives me a broad perspective on a lot of different topics in public education.
That's awesome. Thank you. All right, so we're going to get to it. And Snae, one thing that we like to do with our guests, and this is an effort for them to get to know you better, we like to ask all of our guests in this opening question. And again, we got your career, so this is more personal career, personal professional kind of thing, however you want to mix it. But Snae, tell us who you were, who you are, and who you're going to be.
Oh, that's a good question. Who came up with that question? Is that a Derek McCoy question? Okay, who I was, who I am, and who I'm going to be. Okay, you know what? I was talking with my grandmother actually a couple weeks ago, and she had sent me, it was an article that was written about me when I was in college. I won an award when I was in college. And they had a write-up, and at the bottom of the write-up, it had what my future goals were. I think at that time I said I wanted to teach high school English, I wanted to coach basketball, and I wanted to get my doctorate degree in education. And she's like, you did all those things. And I was like, you know, I really did. That's pretty cool to look back at something that was about 22 years old and to say, wow, I really did do that. So then I would say I was definitely a dreamer with a plan. Now I think I am a leader with vision and heart and courage. And in the future, I think I'm going to be a game changer that makes waves that I can really be proud of, that changes the landscape of education.
Not too grand.
I think that might be the most succinct answer we've ever had to that question. lots of material, but just succinct. So,
yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm going to have to add that to my list of things that make you go, right?
Hey, be careful. Don't blow up his ego too much here. You know, the listeners don't have a chance to kind of listen off camera, so to speak, Snae. And one thing I found really interesting, you were talking about through everything we've gone through with COVID, and I think this is just applicable for whatever crisis the school might go to, but you talked about you've discovered you need a different skill set with leadership. Can you explain kind of what you were talking about, and for you, what does that look like right now?
Yeah, I sure can. You know, The one thing that is pretty common with any leader, it doesn't matter what role you're in, school leader or just in any type of leadership role, teacher leader, district leader, or a leader outside of education, leaders are hired to solve problems and to make decisions and to fix things. And that's just a big part of being a leader, problem solver. And in a regular school setting, a regular school year, we're presented with a lot of different problems and we offer solutions, tie it up nicely, and we put it out there and it's solved. However, we are living in a huge dilemma, which a dilemma means there is not a solution that's going to fix it. You just have to learn to live with it. And so you present different ways of dealing with the dilemma that is palatable for everybody that's going through that process. And so you move from being a problem solver and a quick decision maker to, I think I said this recently, a dilemma dancer. The music is constantly changing, right? If you're on Dancing with the Stars and they tell you you're doing the merengue and then they throw on some hip hop and then they throw on some country and you're like, you got to figure out how to dance to all those different types of songs and you have never been exposed to that before. So whatever your music is that you like, that's what you typically dance with. That's how you solve those problems. But in this world of being a dilemma dancer, the song is constantly changing. So therefore you may have this strong skill set that's your go-to. But then when the music changes, it's like, you may get the beat, but you're like, I don't know that dance. You got to quickly learn it or figure it out so the dance can continue. And for me, I think what I had to learn about myself in this current situation is, you know, I don't have the answers. No one has all the answers. We don't have a model. We don't have a playbook. We can't call up a friend and say, hey, you remember when you had that problem? We are all living this together. And so knowing that it's okay to say, you know what, I really don't know, because no one knows. I don't care what they say. No one knows. Being vulnerable with each other and being okay saying, I don't know, but can we work together to try to come up with the solution? And just being comfortable not knowing the path. And so the things that we typically have done are traditional things that we do in a school year during this time. It's not going to happen. How do you deal with that? How do you help staff and students and communities through that? But then we're at this weird time where you should be kind of ready and planned up for what's coming up next. Well, we don't know that either. And so you're just living this life of so much uncertainty. But people are looking to the leader to know and to give them the answers. And just, you know, I've really learned how to be really clear about what I know and what I don't know. Being really candid about what I can share, what I can't share, but then also being really empathetic to people as they are looking to me for answers or they're struggling with their own personal issues and just how the world is going right now in general. So, very different skill set that I use constantly, whereas before maybe you only had to employ that skill set in certain situations. It's like you got to completely shift and redefine what the leadership role looks like in a remote setting.
So Sinead, let me bring us back to a point, and you're too modest to admit your impact that you're already making now, that you already have now in the field of education and your accomplishments. So if our audience doesn't know, Sinead has a book called Be Excellent on Purpose. It's about intentional strategies for impactful leadership. She's a national presenter. She speaks. She goes to all these different conferences and speaks and whatnot. And she can do this because, like we know, Sinead, you are an impactful leader. But there was something already there that kind of that you just had to nurture to help you be a successful leader. I just spoke to a first year principal a couple of weeks ago. This was her first year, COVID-19. Right?
Oh gosh.
Yeah, Yeah, that's right.
Bless her.
Oh. Bless her soul, and bless, how about bless every principal, every first year principal out there, so every first and second year principal out there.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Now, so we know a little bit about you, you know, athletics and you were coach and whatnot, but for other first year principals out there, what would you do, what advice would you give them to the areas that they have that they need to reflect on, to grow, to build on, in order to be the impactful leader that their schools need them to be?
Well, man, you know, first year leader during a situation like this that's humbling for me to even think about. Because there's just so much that goes into that first year. The big part of it is that relationship building piece and people getting to know you and you getting to know them. And then you just, you know, make a huge shift into crisis leadership. Crisis leadership usually only lasts for a period of time. You know, when there's some type of crisis at the school, maybe something happens to a child or to a staff member or some event, but it's usually a short period of time and you're face to face and you can have that empathetic connection. And so to be in crisis leadership as a first year principal is a challenge. It's a challenge for any leader because this is a unique crisis that no one can kind of give you any guidance on. But what I would say to brand new leaders in the profession during this time is vulnerability. Like, especially when you don't really know what you don't know as a first year leader, you put this on top of it, like you really don't know, but no one knows. And so finding the connection with other leaders so that they can tell you, like, I don't even know what to tell you through that. They can help you through some things, but we're all in the same boat. And so it's super critical that, brand new leaders in this role have people that they are connected with, because that is going to be the most critical thing that they turn to in moments where they're questioning themselves, they're doubting themselves. That's going to be kind of the backbone. Secondly, being a listener. Being a leader doesn't mean that you know everything. It means that you kind of know some stuff and you know how to maybe go find the answers, but you don't have all of the answers to every single question that may come your way, or you don't know how to totally approach something in the best way, but you can listen. You can listen and you can tell people, you know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. Or can I get back to you with that? And so during this time, especially, our listening skills have got to be on point because, you know, we've done a lot of this Zooming. You lose so much personal connection via Zoom. And so your listening skills, because you can't read people, right? So your listening skills have got to be on point. So practice those listening skills. And I think the last piece would be just give yourself grace and know that I think, honestly, first year leaders are gonna come off better because they're gonna have some strong crisis management skills and they don't have to unlearn a bunch of stuff. They just have to fast track and refine a lot of skills that we're all learning together. See, when you haven't had to lead through a crisis, you're trying to do things like you've always done them and it's not working because it's a different setting. But when you haven't done any of that, you don't know other than this is the way that I'm leading right now. So if you're developing those empathetic skills, if you're developing how to be really clear with your communication, if you're developing your connecting skills and you're developing your listening skills, you'll be far better off when we get back in a face-to-face setting because you've had to use soft skills that maybe some other leaders haven't had to use all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot there that was really good with that answer. I think, you know, going back to when you talked about who you're going to be, or you say you're going to be a game changer. So how do you take what's taken place here over the last 3 months? And how does that form you, Sine Bell, to be that game changer? And who does that influence? I mean, I'm I've known you just for a little while, but I'm guessing you're not doing this for yourself.
Right.
So we all look at in leadership, you get to a point at a certain age, you want to know what's your legacy. So Sine, what's your legacy for a game changer for you, and who does it influence?
So, you know, I got into education because of it was a personal choice and personal circumstances. For me, I lead because of passion. And because I do truly believe that if you educate a child, you can truly change generations. And I know that that may sound cliche, but you know, I grew up, my parents divorced. And at that time when they divorced, we lived in poverty. Middle school was, I think, the biggest connecting phase for me. Those teachers, they didn't care where you live. They didn't care about your circumstances. And not that they didn't care, but they didn't use that as an excuse. They pushed us, and you were going to learn and you were going to do great things. And they told us that all the time. And, you know, I believe that. It's like, why not? Like, why would you show up and half do something? If you're going to do it, you better do it. You better do it well. And that's where that whole be excellent on purpose is like, and a lot of that comes from when I played sports. You know, there were, I was the only girl in the neighborhood playing basketball with all the boys. And they were like, I knew in order to get taken seriously that I had to bring it. And so even if I wasn't the best, I was going to talk smack like I was the best. Right. And so it was like, I'm going to leave it out there on the court. I'm going to play. And you're going to know that I play. You're going to know, oh man, she hustles. She's not soft. We'll pick her up on our team. And I just took that with me into life. And so anything that I'm going to be a part of, especially when it comes to fighting for kids that sometimes they may not know that they have advocates, or they may not fully believe in their potential. It's about fighting for them and making sure that they have the opportunities that public school is compulsory. They have to go. It better be good. If you gotta go, it's the law. Daggone it, it better be good. And so my job as the principal is to make sure that kids have all of the opportunities and all of the things that they need to be successful so they can realize their potential and to change a life that they maybe didn't even know existed or was out there. So when it comes to a legacy, you know, I want my legacy to be that I fought for kids. I fought to make sure that they had the best, that I fought for teachers to make sure that they could educate students in an environment that, number one, it was a great learning environment for students, and it was a great learning environment for teachers. But at the end of the day, you know, everything that I do, everyone may not like, but I sleep very well at night knowing that I'm doing the right things for kids, that I'm a champion for equity, and that if something's not right, I'm going to call it out and we're going to fix it. You know, so that is what I want my legacy to be about. Not about popularity or, you know, things that are frivolous, but things that really change the lives of people and change the lives of kids and anybody that I come in contact with. I'm about adding value to someone's life. That's my legacy. If you were around me, then hopefully you were better for it. And that's my whole objective.
Love it. So two things I get from that. Number one, and this is really not related to education, but the next time we're at a conference together,
game on.
You and I are going to go out into the community and we're going to play together and we're going to take on whoever wants to play us. We're going to hit all the good courts. That would be a blast.
You got it.
But the second thing I could kind of sense you have, because I was kind of curious early on, what is it about Sine? I mean, you talked about courage earlier and then I heard you say it and put some application to it. So show people a little bit more. I'm guessing there's a bulldog inside you. So equity, I'm assuming, because we've had several people on here, and equity has come up quite a few times, but who is Sine when she's fighting just the hardest for her kids, and what usually are those things that you're fighting for?
You know, I fight hard for equity because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be sitting here today. So, you know, growing up, and not every equity story is about a kid in poverty. You know, that's the picture that we want to paint, but it's not about that. That's just my story, but that's not every kid's story. But for me, it's about making sure that if I'm the professional that's in charge of providing learning for the student, no matter how they come to me, they are going to be better than when I got them. I'm going to grow them. I'm going to help them get to that next point. So, for example, when I was coaching, not every athlete I had was the best athlete. But I couldn't say as a coach, I mean, these players, they're no good. That's on me as a coach, right? My job is to grow them as athletes. I couldn't put them out on the court and just say, I mean, that's what I got. That's all I got. And that's the best we can do. So when it comes to equity, as an educator, I wholeheartedly believe that my training and my academic knowledge and my experience working with kids, they are going to be better because of me, because of me. And so that's what an educator does. And so when it comes to equity, for me, it's about, I can't stand excuses. You know, when people say, well, they can't read, teach them. Or when they say, well, their parents don't do this. We don't teach them. I don't have anything to do with them, but they're here 7.5 hours out of the day. What are you going to do about that? So I'm not a big fan of excuses. I'm about fighting for every kid can learn. And people say that and they're like, well, I don't know. You look at TikTok, they learn every dance. You listen to the music, the stuff they're making on YouTube. They learn complicated songs that, I mean, it's too many words and too many beats. I can't keep up with all that, but they learn that. You talk about video games, they know how to play that. So like kids can do complex things, but we seem to want to put that ceiling on them when it comes to school and they can't learn this academic vocabulary, or they can't relate to this reading. Half of the people teaching the stuff, they can't relate to that either. So for me, equity is about stop making excuses about what kids can't do and figure out what you need to do so that they can access. You know, like if kids don't have it, give it to them. That's what do they need? They don't have that. Good. Give it to them. That's what we're supposed to do. Making sure that, you know, we have girls who are in STEM and not, instead of just putting them in the craft club, like go over there and build a computer. Equity is bigger than just, it has nothing to do with the test score. It has everything to do with the opportunities and the experiences that we're providing for kids, and all kids should have great, exceptional experiences when they go to school. I don't care what zip code you live in. Every kid should have the same opportunities. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on. And if it's like, well, those kids over there, they have parents that can provide and they have the money. Okay, well then we're the parents over here. We got to figure out a way to offer them the same opportunities and experiences. And colleges shouldn't matter that you live over here. And you have the SAT prep, ACT prep, which really not going to matter anymore, huh, in the 21st century after this, right? So it's just about what's fair and what's right. And it shouldn't be, privilege. It should be, if it's public education and we're offering it to every kid, we better find a way to make sure that it's equitable for every kid.
Derek, why didn't you introduce me to this lady sooner? This is awesome.
How is it my fault that you don't know great people? That's on you, man. That's on you. Where have you been?
LinkedIn. I should know better.
you just been hanging out in South Dakota building a great school. So, you know, expand yourself. Yeah. But, you know, that really is why we couldn't wait to have you on, Sinead. And, you know, we didn't even get to... We didn't even talk about your book and your book that much, but what we tell people all the time is that this is talk one. And so just to expect that next, that's right.
Part two.
Part two, like Michael Jordan, the 10-part series.
That's right. Oh, I can't wait to see what part four is going to be about. Oh, but that's right. That's exactly right.
I got the tissue ready, right?
You know what? If you can bring some tearjerker moments to Revolt Lab podcast, then hey, yeah, you deserve whatever award that is.
Okay.
So Snae, as we wrap up though, please share with everyone, our audience, including Darren, apparently. Please share with everyone how they can get in touch with you and where they can find your work.
So I'm pretty active on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is @SnaeBell. And then my website, my blog is SnaeBell.com. I keep it real simple. You search Snae Bell, you'll find my blog, you'll find my Twitter handle, of course, LinkedIn. But I'm just really interested in connecting with great people, because that's how I learn and grow. And if, as I grow, then I can be better for the community that I serve. I can be better for my students. I can be better for my teachers. And that's what it's about. It's about building so that I can help others. And then it's about connecting. And that's, as an educator, that's what we do. We're just connectors. And the more you connect, your community benefits, your kids benefit. And that's what it's all about for me. How can I grow so that I can be better for my kids and my community?
Yeah, I know I'm a better person from having known you, and somewhat better for having known Darren too. You
know, just, oh, Darren, he's killing you today.
That's all right.
That's just today. And this is, and when we get offline, he is relentless.
Oh, really? I don't believe that.
Oh my gosh. I love how quiet and how reserved he is right now. Trust me, when we can start texting later on, yeah, he doesn't let up.
Yeah.
Game one, huh?
Snae, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Snae.
We encourage everyone to please subscribe to our Revolt Lab podcast in Black and White. Share with your friends. We are committed to helping you start the revolution that your learners need. I guess I'll end it some kind of way. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast today. We are committed to changing what we do for the betterment of our learners.
I also want to encourage you to check out our book, The Revolution. It's time to empower change in our schools. Make sure you check it out on Amazon, and also check out future or present podcasts that we have within this Revolt Lab. And please feel free to leave some comments or even rate it on iTunes or Android.